to not put my guard down, but to always stand on business. Now let me explain. Stand on business.
Standing on business means you know your worth.
Wait, hold on. Can we say this a little bit slower?
Standing on business.
That is such a big thing.
It's a big thing. I was explaining it to her. You must stand on business.
Hello. I'm Junius Williams, the host on the podcast Everything's Political, with my co-host, Francesca Larson from the Mosaic Strategies Group. Not only is she the co-host, but she's in charge of our technical work here.
Ooh, I'm in charge. Although we've got a great team, the incredible
Igor,
Dream Play team.
My friend Igor Alves, which is a new addition here. We're doing this video aspect. Before, we were just purely audio, but we said, well, let's up the game a little bit. And so this is our fourth season. We've done, Francesca says, we've had about 45 people that we've interviewed so far. What are some of the topics that we've done under this banner of Everything's Political?
Oh, are you putting me on the spot? Is
I
this
am
a pop
putting
quiz?
You on the spot. The pop quiz.
Professor Williams and the pop quiz.
Uh-huh.
All right, so you asked me this question last time too, and I think my answers were about food insecurity. So this time my answer is going to be about marijuana legalization, urban gardening. We've talked about movement building. We've talked about people's lives too. And I think that's the thing that I really like is under all of the topics we cover, it's getting to know our guests and getting to know what brings them to their work, what brings them to their decisions, and kind of what makes them human like all of us, because we're just people.
And let's not forget that we had two guests from Puerto Rico separately, one talking about food and one talking about solar energy. So we've been
our crypto
all over
too.
The place. Cryptocurrency. But we had lots of interesting topics that we've talked about. And so in season four, we said, well, if everything's political, what do the young people think? Now, we've had some young people before as well, but it wasn't put that way to them. We had four young ladies from Colorado who went to the African American Museum in Washington, and they wanted African-American information in their schools, and they got it because they were supercharged and they were organizers by that time. So this is a little different. We're going to talk solely about things that we think you might want to talk about, and you can add in what you do want. I think we got two of the right people to do that.
Yeah, I'm not really concerned about this group talking about what they want to talk about.
They want to talk about, they both go to one of the highest ranked schools in Newark, where 56% of the students who go on to graduate from college in 6 years. Well, we want to find out from you, do you really think college is necessary? I want to ask them to introduce themselves, and we're going to talk a little bit about who they are.
Sure. My name is Marianne Okafor. I attend Science Park High School, and I'm a senior.
Hi, my name is Doris Suare. I attend Science Park High School, like he said, and yeah, that's it.
You're a senior.
Oh yeah, I'm a senior as well.
Now, the other things these ladies have, and this was not planned, because I know some of our fans think that this is what we do. We don't totally micromanage this. Both of these young ladies were born on the continent of Africa, and they have their African culture to rely upon as well as what they have learned here in America. I asked them, first of all, were you born here? They said, no, no, no. Tell us where you're from.
I am so proud to be Nigerian, mother of West Africa. it is like, I'm really glad that I was born in such a country whereby I know a lot, and like it has really taught me the life lessons that I need as a human to thrive in such a Western world right now. So yeah.
I was born in Sierra Leone, West Africa. My country, it's a great country, but it keeps me humble because of a lot of corruption and a lot of inflation and just the expenses and the way I see people lived. For example, I went back home last year for the first time in 12 years since I came to America. And it was my first time actually rekindling with family members I haven't seen in so many years, seeing streets or places my dad would take me that I used to live at that is now in rambles and being destroyed with homeless people living there, or you see the streets being remade and then you see people in the streets suffering and it's like, where's the money going towards? Mm-hmm. And then it's just, you just see people here suffering and then I see myself, I'm living in a place where I'm privileged to live. I'm just like, wow, I'm actually, like, you look and you see what people are going through. You see the hustle every day. You see people waking up, 4 a.m., 5 a.m. hustling. And I'm here in my bed chilling in my nice AC. And it's like, and it just kept me humble when I went there. So when I came back, like, people were telling me, Doris, you have so much confidence. It was like, the confidence came from me knowing where I came from and what I have, and knowing that what I have is something I'm not willing to let go or to have be taken away from me. Because at the end of the day, even though we love to make our parents proud, I do stand by putting yourself first and your needs. And even though you should always like follow duty, and duty should come taking care of your siblings, your parents, as well, but also make sure what you want to do in life relates or helps you fulfill your duty, as well as have some stability and make you happy as well.
So, as I said, we're going to have a far-ranging conversation with these young ladies. And now I'm going to turn to my left and ask my co-host, because I know she has something to say on this.
Well, I have lots to say, but I want to give much of the airtime to the incredible guests we've got today. But I'm remembering one of the topics we talked about in the past, and I think it's appropriate now. And I believe it was, do women make the best organizers? It just feels relevant to bring that one back to this conversation as we've got two incredible women who are joining us today. And I think what I'm really interested in, as y'all are starting to talk about your history and where you come from, is that confidence that you were just speaking about. What helps support that confidence right now? I think Junius wants to talk about college today, and I think that feels like a right entry point, because in order to succeed, I think the thing that I found is that you got to have some set of confidence,
exactly,
and you got to have some feet on the ground. So, right. Marianne, where do you get your confidence? Where does your drive come from? And does that come at all in relationship to where you're from?
I was born in Lagos, right? Grew up there. And then, like, I was born in a country that's very, very, like, diverse, very unique, right? And I feel like when I came to the United States, it was like, I don't know, I just feel like I was different. I was unique in some way because I could, like, you know, bring my culture, whatever ground that I step on. It's like, you know, I had something to show, right? And people realize that. It's like, oh my gosh, your accent is so different. I mean, right now it's like more Americanized, but before they could literally like spot me, like, oh my gosh, I could definitely tell that you're probably like African. I took that as a compliment, you know, because, like, you know, I love embracing my African heritage. So just like being raised in such a diverse nation had an impact on my confidence, mm-hmm, some sort of way, because I was able to like embrace that side of me, right? And also I love dancing. I love Afrobeat so much. I think that that's like such a big part of my personality, right? So yeah. Even like back when I was in middle school, I always tried to, because again, my middle school didn't really like have any such of like African clubs or, you know, I just wanted to bring something that my community wasn't like, you know, really used to, right? So I remember like performing for my school, like just, it was like a talent show, just, you know, mm-hmm. something, you know, come show your talent. And I was like, you know, why not? So I realized that after that day, you know, I danced to, I can't remember the song, but it was just like, you know, a freestyle, because I don't like when I choreograph or something, it was, it just came naturally, right? So yeah. After that day I danced, and like, I don't know, after that day it was just like the whole school knew me, they knew that part of my culture, and it was just something that I've always been wanting to embrace, because I feel like your culture shapes your identity, and like embracing that part of you just like, you know, I feel like I have so much confidence because of that. So yeah, just being able to express my talent, right? And yeah, that's basically, I feel like, yeah, my culture do have a huge impact on my confidence. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
You get to show up with it. You mm-hmm. get to show up as fully who you are.
Exactly.
And it sounds like you did a great job. And I think this is a reminder for all of us, is if you show up in a space and you don't feel fully represented, or you exactly. don't feel like you can see yourself fully, there are some things you can do about it.
Exactly.
And I wonder what impact what you did and bringing that into the space helped.
I feel like it was, most people might want to like embrace that side of them, but because if they don't really like see other people doing mm-hmm. it, right, they're like, oh, I don't know, I'm scared, like what are they gonna think, what if they don't like it? And I feel like that was also what I was, you know, thinking about. So it's like, okay, this is kind of, it's a kind of a different genre, right? What if they don't mm-hmm. really like, you know, like the music? But I would say, don't worry about what other people think, and just go for it. Like if you really, really love that, and I feel like if they see like your passion and the work you put into it, right, that like they would love that. So I would say confidence comes from just not worrying about what the crowd thinks and just doing what you love. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for me, like even growing up now, I'm still learning to like embrace some part of me that I haven't really been able to like show out, because of I'm so worried about what other people think. Like, you only have one life, YOLO, you know, might as well just, you know, you only live once, might as well just do everything yeah. that, you know, because you just never know, like, stuff happens, and you just never know what's gonna happen in the next second of your life. So just do stuff without no regrets. That's what I would, like, advise anyone to do, you know.
You feel the same?
Yeah, I do not like having regrets. A lot of, something I've struggled with coming up is, I never knew it, but it was confidence. I had it, but I didn't really have it. It's like you have this facade, and it's like, yeah, I'm confident. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look good. Yeah, I'm pretty. Yeah, I get compliments. But it's like, but do you feel confident inside? Mm-hmm. Do you like being by yourself? Do you like your company? Do you find love within yourself that you don't find love, or you don't find happiness within other people, or within materials, or TikTok, or things that that you find physical? Like, one thing I've as I've tapped into my spiritual journey with God, because we're both Christians, is that I need to be connected with Him spiritually, and I also need to I've learned to tap in to trusting God into helping me find myself and into helping me love myself and my self-love journey. So basically, how do I say this? What were we talking about? We're talking about confidence,
right?
Mm-hmm. So it's like, for me, when I pray to God, for Him to help me to find confidence, for Him to help me not seek validation from other people, or to not take what people say to me personally, or to not put my guard down, but to always stand on business. Now that makes me stand on business. Standing on business means you know your worth.
Mm-hmm. Wait, hold on. Can we say this a little bit slower?
Standing on business.
That is such a big thing.
It's a big thing. Literally, I was just saying it to her. You must stand on business. Now, I may be overdragging this, because it's like a trending thing right now
on TikTok.
Okay. But
to me, this
my
is
feet
what it
doesn't
means.
Have that right now, so maybe it will.
No, it's gonna pop up soon.
It means you know your worth. It mm-hmm. means you know your word to the fact that you will not allow anyone to come mm-hmm. to your life to break your peace, to disturb you, or to take you off the pedestal that you have put yourself in, or wherever you have put yourself in. Like, you, if somebody does this towards you, you know your word to not allow it to take your life, or to have any impact in your life, mm-hmm. to have any impact on your mental state, or to come into your safe zone. Like, you know, to just... just exit yourself from that situation and to just keep it pushing. Do a U-turn. Right. Just keep it pushing. Mm. So that's what I mean by stand on business. Stand on business, have your confidence. And if people do not see that for you, move on. They're right. not the right people for you.
Exactly. So it sounds like that's your lane for personal success.
Yes.
As we're thinking about professional success, where do we drive towards?
So, first of all, define success.
That's for you. That's
right.
for you
so
today.
So I feel like success to me is very subjective. Success is someone might be like, I don't know, maybe getting a degree and like working a 9-to-5 or just, you know. Success to some people might be like actually having a positive impact in the community. That's why success is so subjective. And like the path to get to success varies from people to people depending on their goals, right? So again, I feel like that's when the talk about college comes in clutch, because college is the road to success, but to an extent, right? Because it's like college don't really teach you some stuff that, or some life lessons that you get from like life experiences, right? So yeah, that's just what I wanted to point out on that. Success is subjective, and that you just get to that path up differently from other people. So yeah.
But you said that you want to go to college.
Yeah, and I do
you,
want to go to
and,
college.
And you feel like college is necessary for that success.
Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit about that.
So again, this, I feel like my decision on going to college stems from like where I grew up or how I grew up, right? Mm-hmm. So I was born in a country. And again, I feel like people kind of paint Africa to be like this poor nation, and like we should, you know, it's not all of that. It's like, yes, there, just like in the US too, there's like poverty in everywhere. It doesn't really matter where you're at, but there are also places whereby it's like there's like the bright side, right? But all of this, I would say, it stems from capitalism. Because it's like the rich continues to get richer, the poor continues to get poorer. So like, I was born into such a nation whereby it's like, no matter the college education I get, I'm never going to reach that level of success, which is getting a great job, because it's like the employment rate was really high. And this is because of the government. We're taking the money they're supposed to give to, like, you know, citizens, right? So it's like, I decided to go to college because of the immense opportunities that exist in this country. And I know that I have a brighter future with it. But again, I've realized that I've come to a country that it doesn't really matter if you go to college or not, that you could still be successful. But that wasn't the case when I was back home, because back home, it was like success could only be attained when you go to college. It's like, even if you have like a passion for something, or maybe mm-hmm. you're an artist, it's like if you really follow your passion, it's not going to bring food to the table, right? So at the end mm-hmm. of the day, people have to like choose between sacrificing that passion that they have just to be able to survive, which is really sad, you yeah. know.
Yeah. But, survival and success,
right? Yeah. You gotta like choose one. It is sad. It's such like a big issue and undeveloped countries.
So Doris,
yes,
what do you want out of life?
I want a lot. When I was young, I said I wanted to be a model. I want to be a businesswoman. I wanted to be an actress, probably even be the president.
Hey, love it.
Exactly. I had that mindset because I could do anything. I felt it, and I still know that today, but I have the mindset of, now you actually have to be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my dad had this conversation, and he was just like, Doris, we want to do your life. I was like, ooh, why are we having this conversation? Don't rush me. But he was just talking to me. He's like, what do you want to do in college? And I've told everybody, I'm undecided. Mm-hmm. I'm undecided. But when it came to him, he was like, I need to know. And I was like, I don't know. And he wanted to push nursing on me. And I was just like, it's not going to work. Mm. That's not the path I want to take. And it's a path that a lot of African families like to push on their kids. And for me, I wasn't gonna take it. I was gonna advocate for myself, and I was like, I'm not going to take that route. So
do you think that is because it's stable?
Yes.
There's a lot of opportunity right
money.
Now.
Yeah.
That definitely has to do with like how we were raised back home, because again, the only three acceptable careers were engineering, doctor, nursing, and I forgot the other one, lawyer.
Yeah,
right. So if you go to like an African parent and be like, oh, I want to be a dancer, they're gonna look at you like, are you crazy?
Where's the money coming from?
Exactly. And I feel like success for them is defined by how much money you bring to the table.
Exactly. Right? They want you to be stable. Like my dad was like, the thing is, I truly understood this, because then we had another conversation when I told him, I want to do marketing and international business. And he was like, Doris, he was like I told you, he was a dropout, and he rose up in the business world. And he was like, you know, I was a dropout and I rose up, but the thing that I use is common sense. He was like, I didn't use any book or any knowledge or this or that. I had to come up myself, and I had to use all my knowledge, my common sense and all of that. I was like, you're right. And then basically he was like, I don't want you to graduate college looking for jobs. I don't want you to struggle looking for jobs. I want you to have a job as you graduate, when you graduate. And then it hit me, and I was like, you're right. And I was like, why are you right? And I was like, yeah, you're so right. And that's the thing, is like, your family members can also call, if you actually sit down to listen to them, if you're open, they can open your eyes to things that you'd even think was like actually like true, unless you're hard headed. But me, I'm open minded, you know. So when he said that to me, I actually realized, I was like, yeah, I do want to take a major in something that actually can lead me to a potential good paying job that I can use to not only provide for myself but my family as well, and to be that support system if needed to be. So when he said that, it clicked, and it gave me a realization that I need to actually step up my game, and I need to find something that actually I'm gonna be passionate about, but also that's also gonna allow me to bring that stability in my family and make them proud.
Can you do what your father said you should do without going to college?
I could try.
That's a great question.
I could definitely try, because it's not like college is the limit. Mm-hmm. It's not like that's where I'm gonna reach or whatever. So, hey, if I build my network correctly, I get the right people, if I go to the right places, if I do what I need to do to get somewhere that can allow me to get in a position where I'm making more money than people who actually have a college degree, then hey, I made it. And it's like, and it's your mindset. It's your mindset and a lot of things, and how you approach things in life that will take you to places. If your mindset is that I can't do it, or you're always negative about something, I don't know if you're gonna make it in life. When you prove it to me through your actions is when I'm actually clapping for you, and I'm like, good job, you did it. But it's like, if you're not proving it through your actions and you're not actually showing me that progress, I have faith in you, but it's like, it's iffy for me. I need you to show it through progress.
So have you figured out, though, what you want to do with your life?
What I want to do with my life?
College
is for, isn't it? Hey,
well,
that's what
you
college
tell me.
Is for.
Well,
that's what I believe college is for. That's why I said college is not necessary for everybody. I believe college is a path you take to find yourself. Like, it's a path for you to network, for you to get internships, for you to get connections that could lead you to potential jobs in the future. Because those connections, like, one thing I've learned from my experience, but also from my cousin who attends Howard right now, the college I hopefully go to, is that he said that a lot of people,
if anyone from Howard is watching this,
sorry. Yeah. But it's like, he's like, Howard is like a networking school. You need to have network. And it's like, if you don't have a network, it's hard for you to get places. You need to have a network, because those people who you have connections with will take you farther than you even know about. They could get you positions that you didn't even know about. So it's just like, I feel like college is a place where you find your people, your long life people, people that you can have friends forever, who'll be at your baby shower, your wedding, mm-hmm. a place for you to find yourself, know yourself. Probably you will have your failures, you will have your ups and downs, but it's like that path where you're growing into adulthood and reaching that adulthood. I feel like it's where you grow. High school is like you're a seed. Like you're growing a little bit, but college is where like you're getting in your adulthood.
So I feel like college is just not about pursuing a higher education, just like she mentioned. I feel like people say they want to go to college not because of, you know, to pursue higher education, but more of just to like find themselves more. It's mm-hmm. like a way of them like maybe moving from like, you know, their family neighborhood just to like, I don't know, associate with people from different backgrounds. Because again, when especially being brought up in a strict household, it's like mm-hmm. college is like an escape route for them. It's like, yeah. okay, this 4 years I'm gonna like actually do what I want without like no restrictions, mm-hmm. and like just be able to like actually grow as an individual. Because mm-hmm. being a teenager to an extent, like parents, and I know they do that out of protection, but they kind of deprive people from like,
sorry, isn't you say protection?
I mean, we live in nowhere.
Y'all
right?
can come back for the parenting episode too.
Hey, what we like to say is do it now and ask for forgiveness later.
Exactly.
That's what we like to say, and exactly. that's what we do.
But like, yeah, see, that's what college is for. Like, you go to college and it's like you're able to have like this, you know, good social life and get the higher education. But it's not necessarily for like, you know, higher education. I know that some college have like the opportunity to like study abroad. College could be like a way for you to like actually like, you know, explore the world more. Mm-hmm. It's just not about some people go to college not even with the intention to get a degree. It's about with the intention to like actually like network, like she says. Because like, again, you go in with a major and like maybe even when you graduate you don't even like use that major. It's like maybe through the network or like through the people that you find in that college that's gonna like kind of determine like what you're gonna do after college, you know what I mean? Because it's like, okay, I graduated with a degree in biology, but like my job or like what I'm gonna do after college is not, has nothing to do with biology, you know what yeah. I mean? So it's like the people that you meet in college, and I feel like that's why it's so important to like when you're going to college, like do your research and like, you know, the environment, you know, am I gonna thrive here? But when you go to a college whereby it's like you have all the support you need, it's like you're able to like grow more as an individual, and I feel like that's the most important thing, because you're not just looking at your life in college, looking at your life like after college, like what are you gonna be, where are you gonna like impact, like how's your life gonna look like after college? And I feel like those questions need to be like, you people need to do, like those deep reflection right before they like decide on what college they go to, because college is a big deal, you know. It impacts,
expensive.
It is expensive. It's a big risk. Talk about that, you know, like that's the reason why people might decide not to go to college, because of, you know, again, this schools are like really expensive, and like so for some people it's like really really hard to like, you know, pay for it, especially coming from like a low income background. So yeah,
to add on to that is we read this book, it was a summer assignment, and me and summer assignments, we don't go like this, we go like this. But basically I read this part, it was actually interesting to me like first time, and it was about how like these big colleges, these Ivy League schools, mm-hmm. there's, it's like it's a big pond, and you're in this big pond, but in this big pond you're sinking. Mm-hmm. But when you're in a, let's say a college like Rutgers, it's a small pond. In this small pond you're getting all these resources, but you're thriving. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's what you make of the colleges. And also it's like, you can get into these Ivy League schools, yes, but are you going to be able to thrive in it? Are you going to be able to maintain those grades, that GPA mm-hmm. you need for that scholarship?
Especially when you're a scholarship.
Are you actually
yep.
going to thrive, or are you going to be overwhelmed and draining yourself? But that also depends if you know yourself, if you know you can handle it. And that all lies on you. But for me, I know myself. I know I do not want to go to no Ivy League school. I feel like the name is a name.
I think we call Howard an Ivy League school now, so.
Okay. But hey, it's an HBCU. That's why I want to go there. And it's like, yes, I like it. I like the school. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the reason why, okay, so it's, again, it's all on you. It's what you want and what you see that and you know that you can handle in that school. For me, for Howard, is the environment. It's the Black excellence. It's the diversity. It's the enrichment of the education is what I like. Right. And it's what caught my attention. It's not only their education, it's their community as a whole. It's the different things they have. They have the Genesis models. They have the SOB, it's like School of Business. They have their, I forgot what it's called. No, Warner Music Studio. They have different things that can target your different interests. It's not only categorized to just education, academics. Right. And you can major in something, but you can also tap into those interests like you have, like dancing. Like, because me and her like dancing. Like, for example, we're going to be dancing for the pep rally.
Period.
Yeah. And so, like, it's like you can tap into your interest or whatever you have in the back of your mind that you think you're not able to do because of what society deems to be mm-hmm. not successful. And you can probably take that and you can add it to what you are majoring and you can make it something big, something that the world has never seen before. Do the impossible. Mm-hmm. You never know. It's what you think. It's how you use your resources and how you use what you gain and what you further learn.
Well, we may have to have a part two with you ladies.
Oh, of course.
Because as I thought, this was not going to be easily contained within that one small question.
I mean, you knew this, though.
I did. I had that feeling. I had that feeling right from when you sat down. So I want to just say thank you mm-hmm. for coming on. Just let me say this before we have somebody to give the final word. I was thinking about that word confidence mm-hmm. that you used earlier mm-hmm. and the fact that you embrace your culture. When I was coming along, to call somebody African was an insult. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Richmond, Virginia. Those were almost fighting words. If you call somebody African, that's like talking about your mama. So, mm-hmm. What we had to learn to do was to embrace that African mm-hmm. and to see it as positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was a very freeing moment or sets of moments as we began to discover that the Egyptians came from below the Sahara and followed the Nile, the Blue Nile and White Nile from deep down into Mother Africa. So all those things. I use it as an example, but that was kind of like an enlightening experience. You're not as contaminated by the fact that folks put the weight that people put on us to hate ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
That. Yeah, that's course. Really beautiful. And seeing you in flower, 18 mm-hmm. years old, about to soar off mm-hmm. into the Emporia.
Yeah.
Good luck, DC.
What college do you want to go to?
Yeah.
Howard is very beautiful. I visited like Washington D.C. in the summer, and I saw Howard campus, and it was like really beautiful. And I feel like it's just the fact that, you know, again, I always would also like, you know, love to go to Howard, and I feel like it's just being around people who look like you, you know. And again, with the thing with that, I feel like what's different between like Howard and like these other schools is just like. It is, you're gonna feel welcome in the environment compared to like, I don't know, PWI, where you're gonna just feel like left out. And like, I'm raised in like Newark, where by majority of the population is Black. So just like deviate from that. I feel like, I don't know, I would struggle in a sense, but if I end up going to those kind of institution, again, I'll have to like adapt an environment in a sense. But again, Howard is just a very, 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 very beautiful campus.
But what do you want to do?
Not on that note. Go
yeah,
ahead.
I have one more question.
Go ahead.
Okay, okay.
We've got the model lawyer mm-hmm. president.
Yeah, you know
exactly.
it. Yeah, yeah. Come on, don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Tap into the news.
What do we have over here? Or today, what do you think you want to do in the future? Who do you want to be? And answer that however.
Okay, so like for me, I do want to give back to the community. Of course, mm-hmm. like with my education, I do have a goal of giving back to the community. But I aspire to be a nurse. But I want to get the highest degree, which is be a doctor, nurse practitioner. Mm-hmm. That's my major. Like that's what I intend to do. But I don't know what I'm gonna graduate with in the next 4 years. I'm probably gonna switch. But that's just life for you. Life is just filled with surprises, I would say.
So to kind of sum up here. We started out talking about college, but we ended up talking about life and the twists and turns, mm-hmm. and we're learning it from two beautiful young ladies who are part of Newark, part of the United States, but they're also part of what we love to call Mother Africa. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Everything's Political Podcast is sponsored by the Center for Education and Juvenile Justice and supported by the Terrell Foundation and the Robert Woods Johnson Foundation and listeners like you. It is produced by Mosaic Strategies and Dream Play Media with theme music by Anthony Ant Jackson. Like what you see in here? Then subscribe to Everything's Political Podcast on Spotify, YouTube. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Go ahead, push the red button. Thank you. See you next time, and remember to stay political.